What is hospitality? Is it a smile and a handshake when someone comes into your place of business? Is it a plate of cookies delivered to a new neighbor who moved in down the street? Is it a holiday table so full of food it seems it could feed a small country? Is it communion shared between strangers in a worship service? There's a Netflix comedy that I've been watching recently in which the main characters are a wealthy family who lost everything. While their rich friends didn't even call and check on them, the residents of a small town where they now find themselves living receive them openly. There, in spite of their new economic status, they have a place to live, food to eat, and people who just keep showing up for them, often in spite of their attitudes and actions. Is that what hospitality is? As we move toward fall and go back to our regular programming and ministries around the church, as we begin a new program year, the ministry visioning team has challenged us to embrace the theme, practicing radical hospitality. So this means that while we won't always be explicitly talking about it, we will, in various ways and conversations and experiences over this coming year, be exploring the idea of hospitality together. So we start that conversation today with a story from early in the Bible, a story from Genesis, really one of the earliest stories of hospitality in the Judeo-Christian tradition. Now, if you are one who is familiar with the Bible, you may have wondered why we only read those first 8 verses of chapter 18. After all, if you know Genesis, you know that these are really part of a greater story, part of the story of the promise to Abraham and Sarah about their descendants. The story that affirms that Abraham and Sarah, that promise of a child actually involves a child Sarah will have, even at her old age, the child we come to know as Isaac. So typically, we hear these verses, this stuff about these three visitors coming and Abraham offering hospitality, typically we really just move through those. We really just use those as a vehicle to get to the reiteration of the promise, the reminder that Sarah will actually give birth, and then finally to the birth of Isaac. We are so focused on getting through and to that point in the story that we sometimes forget to notice the hospitality that is offered. So today I'm asking us to pause, because hospitality is no small thing. Rather, it is foundational to our story of faith. Both the hospitality between God and humanity, as well as hospitality offered human to human, play such a large part in our story that we can't afford to not stop and talk about it. So I want us to look again at part of this passage that Martha read for us this morning. It begins saying, "The Lord appeared to Abraham." But of course, we know the Lord often comes in disguise. So there is Abraham at the entrance of his tent, and we are told in the heat of the day. Beginning with verse 2, it says, "He looked up and saw 3 men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, 'My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on. Then the passage goes on with the details of the meal that Abraham and his household make for the guests, a meal of much more than the promised bread, of bread and meat and milk, a meal that is abundant. Of course, some of you may know enough to say, but this is the Middle Eastern way. The Middle Eastern culture then and still today understands hospitality as a responsibility, not an option. And some of us may feel like that potentially makes it less genuine, turns it into a task to mark off the to-do list. But the reality is that the good side of responsibility is that then it gets built into us. Just think about it. We do this in a variety of ways. When we have small children around, we teach them to say things like, thank you, and I'm sorry. We teach it, hopefully we model it. In this way, we show it as a responsibility. But at some point, as parents and other nurturing adults, we step back to see if it has taken root. Because we know that just saying thank you is not the same as feeling gratitude. Just saying I'm sorry is not the same as being sorry. Rather, when we see it not as a scripted response, a heartfelt expression, then we cheer that on because the responsibility to say I'm sorry or to say thank you has taken root. It has become real. And so it is with hospitality. Yes, Middle Eastern culture, particularly the culture of Abraham's day, did have a greater sense of responsibility toward the stranger and those in need than many other cultures across time and space. And yes, it can still be deeply genuine. And because so often we read past these early verses in this chapter on the way to the announcement of Isaac, we also miss that Abraham's hospitality appears to be more than just the minimum requirement of his culture. In fact, the Midrash, an ancient commentary or interpretation of the biblical text that fills in the gaps and helps with understanding, the Midrash presents the biblical patriarch Abraham as a paragon of hospitality, largely because of his reception of the wayfarers in Genesis 18. His position at the entrance to his tent in the midday heat is interpreted as a proactive seeking out of passing travelers. Other elements, too, contribute to his reputation, his eagerness, the abundance with which he gives, his insistence on seeing the guests off later as they depart. So here is Abraham, the great patriarch of Judaism, not just offering a little food and drink, some rest for the weary traveler, but running to greet the strangers, bowing to them, offering the best of what he has, welcoming them into the shade of a nearby tree as he serves them. Welcome, water, food, rest, and more. Abraham offers a full picture of hospitality. So what do we do with this? As we commit again and again to practice radical hospitality, well, we start by practicing. We do it over and over again, and we do it in the best way we can, the way we want it to be done. And we keep doing it, even on the days when it simply feels like a responsibility. We keep doing it whether we feel like it or not. Because much like playing a new song on an instrument or shooting a free throw, the muscle memory of our hearts and hands helps us to embody hospitality. And that takes us to that word radical. Radical, which we tend to use in our culture to mean extreme or above and beyond, but at its core, it means to get to the root, something that is foundational. So the more we practice, the more it becomes a part of us. And the more we get back to the core, the foundation of the Judeo-Christian tradition. And when hospitality becomes part of us, then we embrace it, yes, as a responsibility, but also as a joy. And often, especially when we let it be a joy, we will do it in wonderful and extreme ways. But what is this hospitality we are called to offer? Am I the only one who, when hearing hospitality, first thinks of food? Anybody else out there? Don't leave me hanging, thank you. Food and welcome. Those are often involved, not always. But sure, for hospitality, we might bake some muffins. We might clean our homes to receive some people. But it's really more than that. Hospitality is a position of the heart. It is a position that says that we are open, that what we have is ours to share, that we can see beyond ourselves to the needs and comforts and care of others. And hospitality doesn't always look the same. I'm aware of two recent experiences in my own life where I was given opportunities to practice hospitality. Just two nights ago, my family and I hosted a cookout for others from First Christian. There were about 35 people there, and it was one of those common opportunities for hospitality, you know, the type where we swept the floors and cleaned the bathrooms and prepared the food. We set a time and then opened the door and welcomed people in when they arrived. But hospitality doesn't always look like that. I also think of another recent experience when someone came to the church needing help. I didn't know they were coming. I didn't choose the time, and it really wasn't convenient. But suddenly, there they were, in need of some financial assistance. Now, many people might first use the word benevolence or service or mission for this opportunity to respond, but I became aware in that conversation that while financial assistance was important, so was the hospitality of creating space for their story to be told, for a person to be heard, and to be believed. Opportunities for hospitality are everywhere. Maybe we start by practicing it in the predictable places, by being intentional about looking for ways to create opportunities to share a meal or to open our homes to someone else. Maybe to just listen to someone who is struggling. And maybe we begin by paying attention to the many ways that we receive hospitality. From a door being held open, to a hand being offered, to a meal being shared with us. And maybe, just maybe, the more we practice it, the more it becomes part of us, rooted deep within us. And the more we discover that opportunities for hospitality are all around us, if we will just open our eyes and our hearts and our lives to see them. May it be so.